Well, welcome to Northwoods. We are so glad you're joining us today. We've got a lot going on, so let's get right to it. If you are new here, we want to say welcome to you. Thank you for joining us today. Now, text the word new to the number on the screen. That's right there, new to that number. And it'll get you in connection with one of our staff pastors. And we'd love to hear what brought you to Northwoods and maybe answer any questions that you may have.
That's right. We just want to help you learn what's going on around here. For today, what's going on is we are wrapping up our Promised Power series. We've been in this for quite a few weeks now, talking about the Holy Spirit. And today we are being wrapped up. We're wrapping up with how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And also a part of today's service will be communion. So make sure you have the elements ready. You have bread, you have juice, you know, in quarantine, I like to talk about how I used a tater tot and some LaCroix. It works. Okay. So make sure you have some elements ready so you can take communion with us during service.
Absolutely. And then make sure you come back next weekend as we celebrate Father's Day. And Pastor John's going to be unpacking three essential roles a father has for his children. And I'm excited about it because I'm a father of two. And I mean, we've been doing it for a little while, but it's still tough today because there's different seasons in our lives. And it's going to be a powerful, powerful message. And then make sure you get back on the 26th. We're kicking off our brand new series called Seven. We've got a summer full of some amazing speakers. And I'm really excited because I'm going to be able to speak from the Peoria platform.
Yeah.
And so get here. It's called Seven, and it's on the seven redemptive names of God. So a great series to join in on.
Yeah, so good. So if you have questions or want more information about anything we talked about here or anything that they're going to mention in our announcements today, go ahead and open up the connection card, check one of those boxes of what you want more info for, and it'll be emailed directly to you. The connection card is a tool for you to help you know what's going on and connect with what's going on at Northwoods. Now, last thing before we wrap up is the chat feature, which is unique to you guys online, our online family. And we want this, again, to be a tool, a connection point for you guys. So you have the chat, connect with some people, say hi, say where you're tuning in from. But also, if you have a prayer request, go ahead. You can put it right there in the chat and one of our hosts will pray with you right there. Or you can use the button to request a private chat with our prayer team. And I know, we say this every week, but
every
really,
week, but we
love praying with you. We love praying for you. So if you need some in prayer, whether it's something big or something small, go ahead and use that feature today.
Yeah.
Use that. We want to pray with you.
Absolutely. And we are grateful that you're here with us today. And we're actually going to join in with Josh in worship with a song. Great.
Woods. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. You're excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, come on. Hey, we're going to sing and we're going to bless the Lord this morning. Here we go. Let's sing together. This is the day that you have made. Whatever comes, I won't complain. For all my hope is in your name, and now your joy awaits my praise. Come on, we say, I give thanks for all you have done, and I will sing of your mercy and your love. Your love is unfailing, Lord, I am grateful. Set my feet on higher ground. So here I stand. You are my
Come on, we sing.
And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. And as we lift our
God, we just ask, Lord, this morning, God, that your Holy Spirit would come in this place, that it would fall upon us, and that you would speak a new and fresh word to each and every person in this room. Spirit, come, search my heart, point out any offense within. Clear away sinful will. Send my mind on your word again. Here in the stillness, waiting for you to speak. Changed in your presence, Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Come and have your way in us, with us, and through us this morning. So gathered before you, we bless your name today. Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. And I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Come on, give him a praise this morning. We say, and oh, praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, come on, lift your voice, church.
Oh, praise his name.
Sing it out.
Forever,
we praise you, God. We praise your name forever.
For endless days.
We will sing your praise. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, our God.
We're going to continue to worship in just a moment. But we wanted to stop for a moment and come around the Lord's table. And it is a praiseworthy thing to praise the Lord for what he's done. You can go ahead and take a seat for just a moment. And we're going to continue to praise him. But I hope you grabbed the elements when you walked in. But as we come around the Lord's table, the Bible tells us that before we partake, we should examine ourselves. And so I want you to just take a moment. Before we continue to worship, I want us to take a moment and let's just examine ourselves before the Lord. Is there any place in our heart that we're out of alignment with God? Why don't you just ask the Lord right now, is there any place where I'm out of alignment with you? Is it a relationship? Someone I need to forgive? Is it in my marriage, if you're married? The way I've treated my spouse this week, has it been in a loving, God-honoring way? Lord, if there's any place in us that's out of alignment with you, we repent of that. We choose to turn towards you again. Bring our lives back into alignment with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now, church, as we're going to partake in a moment, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. Just say, Jesus, by faith, I now, as I come to your table, I receive in myself everything that you intended for my life through the cross. Forgiveness of my sin, the power to walk in freedom from my sin, healing for my body. Jesus, you said you're the one who refreshes our soul, that's healing over our mind, our will, and emotions. Jesus, we receive in ourselves everything that you intended that came through the cross. And now you can take that top layer off. The Bible says that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Now let's peel that next layer off. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that washes me white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that covers all of my sin. The Bible says that after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's do this together. Let's partake. So, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your life for us. And Jesus, we praise you in this place. We praise you for your life. We praise you for your body, for your blood. Come on, church, let's stand to our feet. Let's continue to praise him. We praise your name in this place. Jesus, come on, let's worship.
We've entered the throne room. The King of Kings is in our midst today. In that same posture of reverence before the King of Kings, we want to invite you to begin to worship him. Whether that's in song, begin to release your own song. Whether that's by you lifting your hands, begin to submit yourself to the King of Kings. Whether that's you bowing down and kneeling before the King of Kings, then begin to humble yourselves. Whatever that looks like for you, begin to lift up your praise today. Begin to say thank you. Begin to say, "We praise you, God. You're worthy to receive our praise. You're worthy to receive our glory. You are worthy, God. You're worthy, Lord. Receive it all. It all belongs to you." Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your voice today. Lift your voice today. Come on, we sing. We sing.
Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise. just continue to worship the Lord here. Come on, let's hear it for him. All right, would you pray with me this morning? God, we just thank you for joining us here in this place today, Lord. And even as the music stops, we know that our praise and our worship to you does not. And so we praise the name of Jesus in this place this morning, God. And we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to continue to sweep through this room and be with us in the rest of our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, you guys can be seated. Welcome. Good morning. Thank you. Didn't know what we were going to have to do there for a second. Hey, my name's Kurt. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just want to welcome you to Northwoods this morning. If this is your first time or you have been here for years and you call Northwoods your home church, we are so glad that you've joined us. And here's what we want to do. We want to connect with you. If you're new here, please join us at the New Here Connection booth out in the lobby, and we would love to connect with a pastor, get to know you a little bit. If this is your first time and you're joining us maybe remotely, we would love you to text the word new, N-E-W, to the number on your screen. For the rest of you, you know the drill. Take out your phones, open up the Northwoods app. If you don't have that app, download it. All the information I share with you this morning and more is gonna be available on that app. And we wanna make sure that you fill out the connection card. Let us know that you were here, anybody that's joined with you. And if you have any prayer requests, we definitely wanna know if you have any prayer requests, because we have a team that will pray for every single one of those prayers. And we take that seriously because we know that your needs are our needs and we wanna meet those for you. And so make sure that you do that. Guys, next week, Father's Day. Any fathers in the house? All right. Welcome. Well, welcome, guys. Make sure you join us next week on Father's Day, because Pastor John is going to be sharing three essential roles that a father plays in the lives of their children. And so we don't want to miss that. Come back then June 26th as we kick off a brand new summer series called Seven, and we will dig deep and dive into the seven redemptive names of God and what those mean in our lives today. Well, guys, I don't know about you, but if you walked in and you happen to notice the Northwoods mission teams have their second Sunday Sack lunch table set up, that only means two things. Number one, you're gonna get an incredible lunch, sandwich, chips, and a drink for only $5. I challenge you to find a deal like that somewhere else, right? That probably doesn't involve grease. Anyway, but number two, when you do that, you are supporting with all the proceeds going to our Northwoods missions that support ministries all around the world, as well as our local impact partners right here locally, like Midwest Food Bank. If you're here and you want to know more information, I invite you to join us for an informational meeting after service for Midwest Food Bank and learn about the amazing work that they're doing with food and emergency response services. So guys, here's the thing. We could not do any of the ministries we do without your faithful support and giving. So I want to say thank you for all of your giving. As a reminder, as you give your tithes and offerings, you can do it in multiple ways. You can give it any of the black boxes that you find around the buildings. You can go online. You can use the Northwoods app. You can text new. And you know what? We still do good old snail mail, so you can mail it in. So guys, thank you again for your generous support. We could not do what we do without you. So guys, right now, sit back, relax, and prepare your hearts. Pastor John is gonna come and wrap up our series on the Holy Spirit called Promise Power as we dive into the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
See, it's so important that we understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Lord. He is not beneath the Father and the Son. He is one with the Father and the Son.
The power of the Holy Spirit wasn't just given for you and I to have a more exciting Christian life. His desire is for his people to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that the world might come to know him.
Spiritual gifts are God himself, the Holy Spirit. They are the tools, the instruments, the resources, the means by which the Holy Spirit serves to build us up into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Who's sitting in the director's chair of your life? Well, good morning, Northwoods. Everybody doing well this morning? You feeling good? Good. Well, I hope you've been enjoying this this series on the Holy Spirit. We're closing it out today. And did anybody enjoy Pastor Sam last week? I thought he was an absolute blessing. We had a time of prayer at the end where he asked people to stand that were in pain. And we actually heard some stories come in of people who left, who came here in pain and left this place pain-free. So praise God for that. Incredible. Our God is a God who heals. And if you were one of those people that got healed, we would love, if we haven't heard your story, we'd love for you to share your story with us as well. And like I said, today we close out what's been a 7-week series on the Holy Spirit. I hope it's been impactful to you. And before I start today, I just want to mention that for those of you who are saying, you know, I'd like more on this topic, we offer a class called Doing What Jesus Did. And it's a 19-week class which will help you learn to hear God's nudges and walk them out with the Spirit's power. So it's a 19-week class that starts on September 14th, so in the fall. And it is a life-changing class. You'll walk through the class in community with a table of people. In fact, we've had over 1,000 people graduate Doing What Jesus Did. Many of you out there today have walked through Doing What Jesus Did. And I would just, if you've never been through it, I want to encourage you to be a part of the next wave of people that go through and receive practical training around walking in the power of the Spirit. So you can always find more about that. We mentioned the connection card during announcements. You can go on the connections card, and there's a little place you can click for Doing What Jesus Did if you want to get more info about that. Or you can go to northwoods.church/doingwhatjesusdid. I think it's DWJD. I'm going to put that on the screen. Okay, so go to the app. All right. All right, but today, as we close out this series, I want to finish by talking about the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. You know, several years back when my wife and I were still living in Galesburg, we were working on at the Galesburg campus over there, I made the horrible mistake of transporting a full garbage can in the back of my car. Yeah. For some reason, I can't remember why, but I had missed our weekly garbage pickup for 2 straight weeks. The first week we were on vacation, and then I can't remember why I didn't get it out to the curb for the second week. But after 2 weeks of not being missing garbage pickup, my garbage can was overflowing with trash that had been baking outside in the sun. So I decided I cannot wait another week. This has to get emptied. It smells like it's full. I have nowhere to put trash. I got to get rid of this. So I decided I'm going to put the garbage can in my car and I'm going to transport it to the church dumpster and empty it. So I go over, I grab the garbage can. I mean, this is a good sized garbage can. I take it over to my Honda Accord, not my pickup, my Honda Accord. Open the door. I make sure the lid's on tight, and I slide it sideways. What? Sideways into the back seat. Okay, terrible idea. You knew it as soon as that. For some reason, that didn't come to me. So I start driving down the road, and this putrid smell starts to just permeate my car. I mean, if hell had a smell, this would have to have been it. But I'm thinking it's, you know, the smell is coming from the trash, so once I get it out, it'll go away. So I get to the church, slide it out sideways, empty it in the dumpster, put the trash can back in my car, hop in, and I start driving home. As I'm driving home, still a nasty smell just all up in my car. Now I'm starting to get concerned. But then I think, well, maybe it's just the garbage can. It's not only the garbage that smells, but the garbage can smells too. So once I get the garbage can out, it won't smell anymore. So I get home, take the garbage can out, and then I go back in my car, and as soon as I hop in and sit down, it's like a brick wall. Just, oh, smells terrible. So I roll all the windows down, and I say, maybe I just need to let it sit overnight. Next morning, go hop in my car. I mean, I get like next to it, and I can smell. It just smells. And that morning, I actually had to pick up a student and meet this student for breakfast. The dude, this is funny. The kid got in my car and he was like, what smells? I was like, just roll the windows down. Don't worry about it. And when he got to school, he got out of my car, pulled out Axe spray and was just like, all over himself. And it was so bad in my car, I had to drive everywhere with my windows down. Everywhere. And I eventually found out, after having to take out the back seat, that a bunch of black trash juice had leaked into the back seat and soaked up into the cushion. Yeah. And it didn't matter what I did, vacuuming, air fresheners, leaving the windows open at night, that smell filled and permeated my car. I think it still smelled when I traded that thing in. It was nasty. Now, I lead with that this morning to say that in the same way that fragrance filled and permeated my car, so the Holy Spirit, in a good way, not in a smelly way, in a good way, wants to fill and permeate every facet of our lives continually with his presence and his power. In fact, the Apostle Paul commanded us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible or the YouVersion app and want to follow along, you can join me in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start at verse 18. You can also follow along in the screen, on the screen if you'd like to. So Ephesians is near the back of your Bible. It's a short letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to believers in the ancient city of Ephesus. And the first three chapters of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul touches on the spiritual realities that belong to us in Christ. And then the last three chapters, he talks about the spiritual responsibilities of those who are in Christ. So in Ephesians 5, he's talking about our responsibility to live a life and walk in a way that is befitting of a Christ follower. So in Ephesians 5:18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So here, Paul contrasts being drunk with the fullness of the Spirit. So think about this. When a person is drunk, we would say alcohol is exerting a powerful influence on them physically, emotionally, and cognitively. In fact, alcohol would go in the category of a depressant. And doctors would tell you that alcohol depresses parts of your brain, and thus when you are drunk, the ability to reason, make accurate judgments, even balance, and other faculties can be impaired. So Paul contrasts the negative, getting drunk, and says now in a positive, instead of letting alcohol exert a powerful influence over you, be filled with the Holy Spirit and let him exert his influence in your life. And I think this is interesting. While we would put alcohol in the category of a depressant, I think we could put the Holy Spirit's activity in the category of a stimulant, in that he stimulates our mind, our heart, our will, every part of us to be more like Jesus. So he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit and let his presence fill you and move you to be more like Jesus. We are to be Spirit-filled. Now, I want to pause here and define my terms for just a moment, because the language of Spirit-filled can mean different things to different people depending on what type of church or denominational background you've grown up in. So, for example, I have some good friends that are a part of a Pentecostal denomination that teach that being Spirit-filled means you have had a post-conversion encounter with the Holy Spirit, and the initial evidence, they call it the initial evidence of that encounter is that you speak in tongues. Now, not all Pentecostal and charismatic churches teach this, but some do. Now, I want you to know where we stand here at Northwoods, okay? We at Northwoods agree with them in that we also believe we can experience post-conversion encounters with the Holy Spirit, which are transforming, equipping, and empowering. We agree with that. Where we at Northwoods would disagree is that the initial evidence of that post-conversion encounter or encounters does not have to be accompanied by speaking in tongues for it to be legitimate. And part of why we believe this is outlined in some of what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. Let me just share two quick passages with you. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Paul said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. But then look at what he says earlier in his letter. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:29 through 30, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? The obvious answer to that and all those questions is no. It'd be like if I said, are all Packer fans? Some of you would say, no, not at all. Right? So the obvious answer to those questions is no. So here's the point. Does the Apostle Paul wish that everyone would speak in tongues? Yes. Does that mean that everyone will? No. This is why we say that encountering the Holy Spirit post-conversion does not always have to be accompanied by the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That might be the experience for some, but that doesn't mean it has to be the experience for all. So all that to say, when we talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit today, being Spirit-filled, yes, we're talking about the Spirit's activity in our life post-conversion, but we're not talking about an experience that has to be accompanied by speaking in tongues. So now that we've defined our terms and we understand that fullness and filling, as we're speaking about it, speak of allowing the Holy Spirit to completely permeate and influence every part of us, let's talk about how we can experience the ongoing filling of the Spirit in our daily lives. So as we read on, we find that the Apostle Paul gives us several keys for how we can posture ourselves for this to happen. Okay, so here's key number one, continual surrender. Continual surrender. This is foundational. We've talked about this many times throughout this series. If we're going to be continually filled with the Spirit, we must take a posture of surrender. I want you to look at what Paul said again in verse 18. He said, don't get drunk on wine, but he said, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Notice, Paul didn't say, fill yourself with the Spirit. He said, be filled, which not only speaks of a continual, ongoing process that happens over and over, but also speaks of the Holy Spirit as the one who does the filling. So if he's the one who fills, what is our response? Continual surrender. Holy Spirit, I surrender every part of myself to you. For example, I found that the analogy of an Airbnb has been helpful to me. So when you rent someone else's home, you get access to that person's home. But if you've ever rented a home, a vacation rental, whatever, just a short-term rental, if you're going on vacation, many times when you rent that place, there's always somewhere in that home where a door is locked. Have you noticed this? There's always kind of like an owner's closet. All the other doors are open, but there's one door you can't open. Your key doesn't work there. That's because that's the owner's space. You don't mess around there. As the renter, you get access to the home, but you don't get access to certain spaces in that home. There's certain things that are off limits to renters. And so in using that analogy, I think in the same way, we can at times treat the Holy Spirit as if he's kind of like a renter. In other words, yes, he has access to the home, but there are a few places that we have marked as off limits to him. What are some of those off limit places? Well, let me give you a few common ones. For one of the first common places would be money. Holy Spirit, I'm in control of how I handle my money. Fill me, Holy Spirit, but there's this place over here with my finances. Don't touch that. I don't need your influence there. I'm going to determine how I'm going to spend and how I'm going to give. So money's a common place we put off limits. Another common place is our sexuality. Holy Spirit, again, fill me, but you know what? This area of my sexuality over here, no. Don't be influencing that. How I think and act in regard to sex, you know, if I want to sleep with my girlfriend or boyfriend or move in, whatever, I'm going to do so. Okay, you're welcome to have the rest of me, but not my sexuality. So money, sex, I would also say relationships. For example, someone hurt us, and we know that God's word tells us to forgive, but we say, no, Holy Spirit, okay, everything else, you feel every part of me, but you know, this area over here in my life with this person who hurt me, no, I don't need your influence here. They don't need forgiveness. They deserve to have me bitter at them the rest of my life. They do not deserve to be forgiven. They hurt me, and I would rather stay bitter at them. But understand, surrendering the Holy Spirit means treating him like an owner instead of a renter. Meaning there are no places that are off limits to the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you this morning, are there any places in your life that you have marked off limits to the Holy Spirit? Are there any places in your life that you have marked off limits to the Holy Spirit? And as you're thinking about that, let's remember, he already knows what's behind the door. It's not a secret to him. He knows, and he actually longs to bring healing and wholeness to every area in our life. And he does it in a very gentle way. Any spaces in your life where you've closed the door and said, mm-mm, not here. Experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit means we surrender every part of ourselves to him. So that's the first key to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But then in the following couple of verses, Paul lists a couple of other keys. And while I believe that what follows could be spoken of as kind of the fruit of being filled with the Spirit, I also believe that practicing what he says ushers in the fullness of the Spirit. So here's key number two, real relationships. We talked about continual surrender, but here's key number two, real relationships. Look at what he goes on to say. The verse continues in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. So psalms would be, you know, in the Bible, there's the book of Psalms. You can worship and read out loud the book of Psalms. I mean, you literally can sing those. Then there's hymns. This could be pre-written songs. And there's just songs from the Spirit. These are songs that come from inside of you, just come from your heart. It could be things you make up on the spot as you're singing to the Lord. But I want you to notice the four words at the beginning of that verse, speaking to one another. So the context here is public worship. When we gather, yes, we sing to the Lord, but also sometimes we sing to each other. For example, yes, many times when we're worship, we're singing to the Lord, but sometimes we sing things like, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. What are we doing when we're saying that? It's almost like we're speaking to one another, saying, come on, let us make a joyful noise. So yes, we're singing to the Lord, but there are instances where we're speaking to one another as we're singing. We're encouraging one another. But here's what I want you to get. This command wasn't written to individuals in isolation, but to the church. It's talking about a gathering of people worshiping God together. You know, as a part of a recent study, I was challenged to read every place in the Bible where the word church is used. I shouldn't say in the Bible, in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, it's used 108 times. Sometimes it refers to the church universal, which is all of God's people everywhere. Other times it's used to speak of a group of churches in an area. And other times it refers to an individual church. But here's what my main takeaway from that study was. Here it is. A Christian who was not a part of a gathering group of Christ followers was a foreign concept in the New Testament. In fact, most of the New Testament letters were either written to churches or to men who were helping to establish and lead churches. So I think we could say believers, followers of Christ, we're meant to be investing in real relationships with other Christ followers. We were not meant to follow Christ in isolation. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has used relationships with other people in this church to grow me in my walk with the Lord. A few years back, a trusted man in my life challenged me on my need to constantly control and live in anxiety as a parent of young children. It was as if I was afraid to fully entrust the future of my children to the Lord. And it was through my willingness to be vulnerable in that relationship that I was encouraged and reminded that I don't have to be fearful and try to control the outcomes with my children. My job is to do what's in my power. Love them, care for them, invest in them, guide them with truth, and then entrust the outcomes to the Lord. I don't have to try to be in control of the outcome. I mean, I don't control the outcomes. That was a situation where through a relationship, I was challenged to surrender and submit my need for control to the Holy Spirit. You know, another example, I'm thankful that I have a brother who loves the Lord. We have a great relationship. You know Nathan. And there was a time a couple years back where I just came to the realization that, man, I have resisted the Holy Spirit. I have quenched the Holy Spirit. I have just resisted him because I thought he was weird for a vast majority of my life. And so I had to repent and say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for living as if you're weird and resisting you. And there was just a day where I didn't know what else to do. And I just felt like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm so sorry. I didn't feel condemned, but I remember the life it brought to me. There was a little issue of pride in my life that I shouldn't go talk to my younger brother because I'm the older brother. He's my younger brother, so I shouldn't take my issues to him. But Nathan, at this point, Nathan's probably a little bit further along ahead of me in his journey with the Holy Spirit. So one day I went to him and just said, Nathan, I don't know what to do. I feel like I've resisted the Holy Spirit. I feel like I'm one of the have-nots because I don't feel like I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you just pray for me, man? And I can't tell you what it did to have Nathan, who's my brother, but that's a relationship. Someone just listen and lay his hands on me and pray for me. We all need those kind of relationships. And for a moment here, I want to say something to all the men that are listening this morning. I felt very strongly I needed to say this as I was preparing this week. Because personally, I know that I tend to be one of those guys and that a lot of my relationships with other men are kind of just rag on each other, make fun of one another. You ever been there as a guy like that? That's just how you do your relationships. We kind of bust on each other, make fun of each other, trash talk, and that's what we do. And I can be good with that. I enjoy that. I love making fun of other guys when we're friends, right? I do. And we have fun with one another. We do that. But I've been finding that many times when the relationship is like that and it's just kind of trash talk, make fun of one another, small talk here and there, it's really a guard for me to keep the relationship from going any deeper. And I believe that the Lord is dealing with me in this place. Maybe it's just me, but I believe in a similar fashion, the Lord is calling the men of this church to deeper relationships with other God-fearing men that go beyond just surface-level small talk and make fun of each other. Men, if we're going to be the men that God calls us to be, men who are full of the Holy Spirit, men who are spiritual leaders in our homes and in our cities, then we better be committed to investing in relationships with other God-fearing men where we share with one another what's going on in our lives. I know that feels weird for us as guys sometimes. Where we share, we encourage, and we pray for one another. Do you have that kind of relationship with other men in your life? If you do, great. If you don't, I want to challenge you to look at the relationships you already have and maybe pick one or two that you can begin to invest yourself in a deeper way. Maybe it looks like getting together for lunch once a month and it's just to tell me about what's going on in your life and we're going to pray for one another at the end. That's a great place to start. The fullness of the Holy Spirit includes continual surrender, real relationships, and then let me give you key number three, heartfelt worship. Heartfelt worship. Look at what Paul goes on to say. He says in Ephesians 5:19 through 20, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing and make music from your heart. That's heartfelt worship. And again, this is not only the fruit of being filled, but one of the ways we usher in the fullness of the Spirit. There is a connection between worship and the working of the Spirit in our lives. Alan Kraft, who wrote a great book titled More, it's all about the Holy Spirit, likened worship to opening up the windows of a house to let fresh air in. For example, growing up, we had a whole house fan. Anybody have a whole house fan? You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like that whole house fan. Instead of blowing air, it actually sucks air into your house. And the thing was super loud. But on cool summer nights and on hot summer nights, my mom didn't always like to turn the air conditioning on. We would open the windows and turn on the fan, and that fan would pull cool air into the home and cool it down. It also make all the doors upstairs slam shut if you didn't prop your doors open. You know that. But worship is like opening the windows on a cool summer night and letting fresh air and wind blow over you. When we worship the Lord from our heart, it's as if the wind of the Spirit is stirred up in us. And I think life has a way of just kind of making things hot and stuffy sometimes. We got the stresses and challenges of work. You know, if you're married and have kids, you got the added work of tending to your marriage and raising children. On top of that, we're all facing the economic challenges with what's going on in our country right now as prices go through the roof. But in the midst of all of that, I think we have to continually open the windows through worship and ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh wind, a fresh filling in our lives. You can clap for that. Personally, I found that there is a connection between worship and the Spirit's activity, even in my own life. I'm beginning to find that many times, not all the time, but sometimes when I get an impression from the Holy Spirit, whether it's a nudge to stop and pray for someone, whether it's a scripture he puts on my heart, sometimes those impressions happen in the midst of worship and prayer. In fact, I think it's really interesting that in Acts 13, before the Apostle Paul was ever sent out on the first of his three missionary journeys, where he, along with a few others, would travel over 10,000 miles and would establish many churches abroad, that the church was gathered, and I want you to look at what they were doing when the Holy Spirit spoke. It says in Acts 13:1, while they were worshiping the Lord, while they were worshiping the Lord, and then it says, and fasting. We've talked about the power of fasting. It was in that context that the Holy Spirit spoke. It says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. I think there's a definite connection between worship and the activity of the Spirit. And walking in the fullness of the Spirit means engaging in heartfelt worship. This happens when we gather, but it should be a regular part of our day. Think of all the moments throughout your day that you could engage in heartfelt worship. Driving in the car, turn some worship music on. Some of you are listening to garbage. Turn some worship music on and start worshiping the Lord. While you're exercising, could be while you're mowing the lawn. I mean, I can sing as loud as I want. The neighbors can't hear me over the mower. I might look a little bit weird, but they can't hear me. But also, you know, it's from your heart. So it could just be having worship music on, and instead of it being out loud, it's just you're worshiping on the inside. When we choose to engage in heartfelt worship, it opens the windows of our soul, and the Spirit begins to breathe fresh joy, peace, and love into our lives. So there's continual surrender, real relationships, and heartfelt worship. Now, as we close, we're going to worship again in here in just a moment. And the team is going to come back and lead us in worship. And as they come, and as we close this series, I want all of us just to take a moment and surrender afresh to the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a moment as the team comes, and we're going to surrender afresh to the Holy Spirit. Now, a few moments ago, we talked about the places that we tend to mark off limits to the Holy Spirit. And in this moment, I want you to ask the Lord to reveal if there are any places that you have marked as off limits to the Holy Spirit. Just ask him right now. Just bow your head. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, are there any places that I have marked off limits to you? Have I been treating you like a renter instead of an owner? In what areas of my life am I not allowing you to have influence? For some of you, it's clear. You know what that is. I want to just encourage you right now to just surrender that. In fact, you might even ask him, why is it so hard for me to surrender this to you? Is it control? Is it shame? Allow him to speak into it, and then just surrender it and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender every part to you. So for some of you, the Lord is revealing that. For others, there might not be a place that comes to mind, but let's all surrender afresh this morning. Before we worship, I want to invite you to pray this along with me. You just pray it back to the Lord this morning. So let's pray this together. You just say, Jesus, I thank you that when I asked you into my life, you sent the Holy Spirit into my life. And I now ask for the full release of all that you intended for me through the fullness of the Spirit. I repent of anything I have done to resist your influence, and I now ask that you would fill me to overflowing with your Spirit. Fill me afresh. I thank you, Lord, and I pray that you would fill every single person here. You would fill us to overflowing, fill us afresh. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that your activity in this room would even begin to increase in this moment and in our lives as we stand together. Let's stand together now, church. And as we stand and as we worship you, come on, church, let's engage in worship, heartfelt worship, and let's worship the Lord together. Spirit, that's our prayer this morning. You are welcome here. Every part of our lives, Holy Spirit, we surrender afresh to you. And Lord, I ask that you would anoint every single one of your people afresh. And you would fill us so that we could say like David said in Psalm 23, that our cup overflows. I pray you would fill us afresh to overflowing, that we would be a church, a people that walk in your power, Holy Spirit. I pray you would release a greater measure of your power in our lives. I pray that the gifts would come alive in our lives, Holy Spirit. We pray the release of the full measure of all that you intended through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done this morning. And we give you all praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord praise. Thank him. We love you, Lord. Church, I hope you've enjoyed this series on the Holy Spirit. And I hope you'll come back next week as we talk. We're going to talk to the men in the room, but there'll be application for everyone. And again, Father's Day next week. Hope to see you back. Have a great week. Northwoods Online, thanks so much for tuning in with us. I hope you enjoyed this series, and I hope you'll join us next week as we talk about the three roles of every father on Father's Day. And so, hey, have a great week. We love you. Praying for you.
To go back and watch it, because the Holy Spirit is such a key part of our lives when we come to know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I also want to invite you back for next weekend as we celebrate Father's Day. I'm really looking forward to those three roles, those essential roles that fathers have in children's lives. So get back here, bring some friends with you.
That's right. And then following that, as Jason mentioned earlier, we're going to be kicking off our new summer series seven, which is all about the seven redemptive names of God. You know, it's always great to just have a deeper understanding of who God is and what that means for our lives as believers. And that's definitely going to be happening in this series. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll see you next week.